When you need expert help and advice on issues affecting your business, NFU Cymru, we're here for you.
Want to get to know the people who produce the food that you eat? This is the place. Step this way and welcome to Rock and Roll Farming.
A special Rock and Roll Farming with farmer, NFU Cymru County Advisor and co-founder of She Who Dares Farms, Stella Owen. Stella, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks Will. Are you all right?
Yes, not too bad, thank you. We've just been comparing silage in notes here, haven't we? How's it going with you?
We're not far off done at home, but husband does quite a lot of contracting as well, so it was quite a big day on Sunday as the rain was forecast for Monday a little bit sooner than anticipated. So nothing like a 24 and a half hour shift on his part. So it's going all right. No breakdowns and everybody got back safe. So that's always the main thing,
that's
isn't it?
That's the important thing, yeah. Tell us a bit about the farm itself.
So we are living under the foothills of the Brecon Beacons, and we live on Flash's home farm and farm with his mum and dad. And so there's beef and sheep, and then we've got a walk up on the Brecon Beacons as well. So and then there's a bit of contracting goes on to keep us busy, and it's pretty full on. Yeah,
I bet it is. And on top of all that, you also have young children who are about the same age as mine. How's homeschooling been for you?
Oh, well, it started off, it was a bit of a novelty, but as time has gone on, we've done a lot of baking. I can make meringues now, and we make bread, and they were quite an asset lamb in time, you know. It was quite handier. I was in the house doing, I do quite a lot of single application forms for members, isn't it? So I was saying, I'll just pop down the sheep shed now if anything's lambing, you know, come back if there's anything wrong. And then, they were quite an asset then, really. And then shearing time, and now we've managed to get a litter of hedgehogs to look after.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's been completely learning in a different way, shall we say. But, we've done away with the maths books, and, you know, it's an enjoyable time for us, really.
Yeah, I think we're very lucky to be on farms at the moment, aren't we? It's been a similar story with my kids, so... I think they are looking forward to getting back to school now.
The first day back last week for the two of them, they both come home and said, "Mum, we were bored." And I was just, right. So you realise quite how much farming and the farm life does, you know, mean to them now, really, isn't it? Because there's always something going on.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So She Who Dares Farms. First of all, for people listening who may not have heard of it, what is it?
Right, so this all came about last January, and we had a bit of a discussion really with my directors, and they felt, you know, we could move into the territory of putting on an event for our female members, and we also put on an event for an environmental event and a red meat sector event. So it was all basically a series of events. And then, so what started out sort of with a working title of a conference for our female members then turned into quite a snazzy title of She Who Dares Farms. And that then grew, it encompassed, you know, a policy session, a media session, how to sell yourselves, how to feel part of the union, really. That's what all came about and inspired women to get involved with the union, that there was a place for them within the union. And it just kind of went a bit mad then and grew and grew, and a wonderful outcome from it. So, yeah, really, really positive.
So who came up with the name? Was that you?
I did, yeah. So one of my colleagues, really good friend, Rachel Lewis Davis, said, well, Stella, you need a really good title to get these women in that room. And this is all that was going on in my head, thinking, oh, what am I going to call this now? Because I didn't want to go down women in agriculture or, you know, I needed something that would draw attention, should we say.
Yeah, well, you're speaking to you're speaking to someone who called this podcast Rock and Roll Farming, so I know exactly what you mean.
I needed rock and roll. That's exactly what I needed, yeah? You know, so I cover, as part of my job as county advisor, I cover Brecon and Radnor and Monmouthshire for NFU Cymru. And I can remember driving home back from Abergavenny. And of course, we'd got the Red Shepherdess that said she was going to speak. You know, she was on SAS Who Dares Wins. And this started playing in my head then. And then I was playing with a few words and I was driving on home. And then I got to Who Dares Farms? Who Dares Farms? Oh, that sounds good. How can I do that? And then I got to She Who Dares Farms. So at this point, my foot was hitting the throttle a bit faster, thinking, I need to get home to get in front of the laptop. Why does this sound so good in my head? Is it familiar? You know, and I couldn't find it. So I was like, right, okay. So the core group that we'd got working on this last year, I sat them all down about 3 days later and said, right, we've got a title, She Who Dares Farms. And Rhian, who spoke for us on the day, our DEPCOMs at that time, her little face, oh, it lit her. Smile. And then we were like, how do we translate this into Welsh? Does it work? And then we got to Hisi Mentra, Sin Fermio, and it sung. And yeah, it just took off. It just took off then. So we couldn't come back from it then, because anything other was not going to work.
So what is the main aim of the conference? Is it to inspire, I suppose?
Absolutely, yes. The whole aim was last year and absolutely is this year, is to feel part of farming, to feel part of the union, to feel, you know, really proud and inspired. Yes, we can do this too. We are doing it too. And that recognition of women's roles to farming is absolutely crucial. And, you know, what the comments have been afterwards with whatever happened with the merch, which went mad as well. You know, it has given that confidence for women to feel, yeah, I'm going to go to that meeting and I'm going to log on to that virtual event. And, you know, I'm going to go there where we probably wouldn't have seen them come in through quite as much before. Yeah. So, yeah, and it's been the grit. I wanted the grit. You know, I wanted the ones doing the work and, you know, give them that recognition that they absolutely deserve.
Yeah. So why do you think that there is a need for this?
Well, I don't think, I think Minette being a female president, you know, has obviously been quite a moment really for the NFU, isn't it?
Sure,
and, you know, I think in terms of NFU Cymru, I mean, this was part of the package last year as to what we wanted to do with more bigger events, you know, like the environment one that Rach had done, which followed through to environmental successes that farmers are already doing on farm and getting that recognition for what we're doing already. And the same with the red meat sector, what we are doing already in terms of traceability, in terms of ensuring our public have got safe food, affordable food, that we have no doubt whatsoever in our product going forward. And then the women's one was very much, we know you're already there, but we need you to come to meetings as well. You know, we need that engagement. We want you to feel part of our union. And that very much, you know, we'd gone there with the next generation, with our next generation board within NFU Cymru. We'd gone there with the sector leads, but, you know, maybe hadn't gone there with the female side of it. And those people, mothers, daughters, grandmothers, I deal with them all the time within a farming business. So it's about making sure every member of that business feels represented by their union. And that was where we wanted to get to.
So historically, farming has at least been seen as a very male-dominated industry. How do you think that's changed over the years? Because it has changed. It really feels like it has, especially in the last sort of 5 years, I'd say.
Yeah, I think so. You know, when you look at a county like Brecon and Radnor, when I look on the name board of the county chairs, you know, 1909 we started, And last year, following She Who Dares Farms, we have got our first female county vice chairman in Sharon Hammond. And
so that it's only taken 110 years.
I know. You know, but it's really important that people know that there was never anything stopping or preventing that from happening. But it's just a change in dynamic, I think. And more so this last couple of weeks, I think I've seen, you know, a lot of young women graduating from universities now in agriculture.
Yeah.
And they are coming through. You know, they have got a lot behind them. I've done a lot of work with Radnor YFC, and you know, those meetings on their rural forums have been 50-50, you know, and those young women have done agriculture degrees or business agriculture degrees, and you know, we've really got those engaged now, and that will only stand us in good stead going forward as a union. And, you know, I think it's really important, you know, to think that their working ethic is usually because they are used to knuckling down on the farm, doing everything, and they've got a really good attitude, and that will stand the industry in a really good place going forward.
Yeah. Why do you think it's important to have diversity in these kind of roles in agriculture, in organisations and companies and unions that, as we've said, have traditionally been 100% men on those boards? And that's not an exaggeration, it's fact, isn't it? Why do you think it's important that we have a range of men and women and people from different backgrounds?
Well, yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is you could look at it as having the diversity in age as well, isn't it? You know, really, I think the male, female, you know, really, you know, that side of things, I've never perceived it. I've never felt any sort of, you know, we're very male dominated. I've never felt that as being, you know, a female county advisor at the front of a room, isn't it? You know, and there's always been a place for everybody. But I think now maybe social media has changed things a little bit, that we're now getting the message, not just to, you know, maybe the dad or, you know, the granddad of that farming business. We're now hitting, you know, the wife, the daughter-in-law, the daughter. You know, you're now able to tap into all members of that business, which I think is great. And yeah, I thoroughly enjoy that. So, you know, you really, when you're looking at our policy boards now, 50% of NFU Cymru boards are chaired by women. And, you know, Kath Whitrow, Abby Reader were integral to She Who Dares Farms last year. And now they've come through the union and, you know, really got to put in their stamp on things as well, isn't it? And, you know, it's lovely to see that there's a place for everyone with us.
Yeah. So when you see someone like Minette Batters, who you mentioned before, who's the first ever female president of the National Farmers Union in the UK, now it can't be understated, it was a huge thing, wasn't it? She's kind of universally admired and regularly described as an inspiration. Does that make you think, yes, things are changing for the better, and will that help bring other young women into the industry?
I'm under no illusion it's made a change. It has made a difference. But at the same time, I think what Minette brings, when she's talking to a room, and I noticed this last year, maybe it's me, I'm a groupie or something, I don't know. But you know, when she's talking at the front of that room, she is commanding, this is where we are at, and this is where we need to go. And there is significant feeling of she is leading you and she is representing you, regardless of the format, or which is very much virtual at the moment, regardless where she is, whether it's a ministerial meeting, whether it's a retailer meeting, there are some really difficult things that she has to deal with on a policy level. I really don't know how one person can hold all of that in one's head. But you know, and I certainly feel it, whenever she enters that room, she is representing you and your business, your family. You know, she is doing her best, and I don't think we could wish for any better in a president.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I've been in rooms with Minette when she's addressed large audiences at conferences, or been in a room with just sort of seven or eight of us, and she has got, as you say, a hugely commanding presence, hasn't she? She Yeah, it's hugely impressive. I think we're very good.
She gets it. And I think that's a huge part of, you know, us as a union. You know, you do feel represented, and that strength, you know, is coming through. And you want to be part of that. You know, we're in a really strange times, and, you know, you naturally want to feel that you've got someone safe at the top leading you, you know, and that you will do anything you can to support that. And, yeah, you know, that's our role then, to be as supportive as we can.
Definitely. Now, Minette spoke at your first conference last year. Must have been fantastic to get someone with that kind of profile straight off the bat.
Well, yes. You know, we were absolutely, you know, in Minette's hands, really, in terms of getting a date in the diary. And it just happened to be that it was Independence Day when it went. So, you know, it was once we'd got Minette, the rest came, you know. Yeah. The Red Shepherdess, Hannah, was phenomenal as well. So positive. Yeah. Really carved her way into the media now, gone on to Country File presenting as a guest presenter. You know, Leslie Griffiths, AMMS now, you know, it was lovely to have a minister there to see that, yes, there's all these women that matter as well to farming. So, you know, and it was interesting, you know, hearing how she'd gone through as profession, as to male versus female as well, isn't it? So, you know, that brought a different aspect to it as well. And Maynard from Fermio was superb as well. So nervous before doing it, but was brilliant. Ria and I had pushed her to limits that she hadn't gone beyond before. The poor girl. And Rebecca Hayes from Script was superb as well. But all, as soon as I'd given the invitational email, as in, look, we're thinking of this, you know, are you interested? Would you be willing to speak at this event? Everyone was back within an hour. Yes, no problem, I'm up for it. And there was no no's. And, you know, that then you knew it was building and you were going to the right direction with it then, isn't it?
Now, what kind of a response did you get to the first conference last year? Because I heard your co-founder, Bryony Gittins, speak at Oxford Farming Conference in January about this, and she actually got quite emotional about the response.
I know. Yeah, it was very... once we'd put the invitation out there on International Women's Day, the response was amazing. And, you know, it was at times very emotive, thinking, yeah, oh, my God, what have I done? but you have to get over that quite quick. And then, you know, we're like, right, we're going to the International Pavilion. And then we got to 140 and the Royal Welsh started saying, whoa, you can't have 140 in that building. You've got to move. Fantastic. What a dilemma. You know, if that's the biggest hurdle I'm going to have, fantastic. Then the next hurdle was food, as in, are these all going to turn up? And Rach was saying, if it's in these women's diaries, they're coming, you know. And Rach was solid as a rock, hugely supportive. She was right. And, you know, once we got to 170, it was right, let's just final push, get to the 200, fill her up, let's go. And you knew you were okay then. So, yeah, once you exceed a building, then you're okay, isn't it? So, yeah, and afterwards, Will, that's when the emotional side for me came, because the emails of women feeling they could actually come to meetings that, and they'd really enjoyed their day out, and they'd had a day from home. You know, they'd made a day of it, you know, and amazing. So, yeah, it's a huge thanks to everyone. The team in NFU Cymru made it happen. You know, it certainly wasn't me on my own. And, you know, the membership, the speakers, they all got it. They all got it. And, yeah, we haven't looked back.
Fantastic. There's also the She Who Dares merchandise available, which you mentioned earlier. My daughters each got a T-shirt for Christmas, which they wear all the time.
Santa did well, didn't he?
Well, you've raised a lot of money for the DPJ Foundation with that, haven't you?
Yeah, we have indeed. So, yeah, a member, Rachel Wolf, now she emailed me and said, Stella, I actually wouldn't mind wearing that around the supermarket, you know. And I was like, okay, thinking my diary's pretty full at the moment, but I can do that. Yeah. So I then sort of got the wheels in motion a little bit then, and one of my colleagues then, Sophie, had to go through licensing and stuff, and so I thought, right, I'll go and have a chat with Dylan now, our deputy director and head of policy, and said, Dylan, so I've had to move building, yeah, and now I've got a few more coming for food on the budget, but can we do some merchandise? And Dylan was just do whatever, style. Oh, God. And then it just turned into, if you'd have seen our print room before the Royal Welsh Show, it was like, oh my God, I had to get Abbott, because you can't get anything onto the site during the Royal Welsh. Mm-hmm. So no delivery vans could come in. So I made Abby Reader then go to the merchandise chap, who's been fantastic. He lives about 4 miles away from Abby. Okay. So she filled up two massive suitcases and wheeled those into the Royal Welsh for me. The Lady Ambassador's caravan was also marginally full of merch, because that's where we could only get the deliveries to.
Yeah.
So it just turned into chaos. So all in all, to date, we've handed over £3,000 to the DPJ Foundation. That's brilliant. And it still goes more. Even in lockdown, I've sent over 100 parcels out. So, yeah, people are really proud of it and want to feel part of it. And, you know, 100% of the profits are going to the DPJ Foundation. So, yeah, and the lady in the post office, I'm a best friend with all my parcels.
I can just imagine Abby walking in with two big suitcases.
Yes, it did look dodgy.
Yeah, I suppose if you want anything doing, you get Abby involved.
Don't
you?
Yes. So,
how do you respond to the naysayers? So the people who criticise these kind of events, and they're a minority, but they are out there, aren't they? You see it sometimes on social media. People who sort of question the need for them. What do you say to that?
The morning of She Who Dares, there's only two episodes which ring in my mind, which is amazing when you think how this was. And the one which rings at me was on the morning of She Who Dares, and there was a strange comment made on Twitter, and I sort of know of the character, don't know personally, and it was a gentleman, and that was at about 10:05. Now, in my head, I need to be trending by 12 noon. Now, those who know me will know that I have these sorts of targets in my head, and I'll do whatever to get there. And anyway, by 11:05, we were trending. And I think it was Dan at the time, our head of comms, messaged Del we're trending. So I was at 55 minutes ahead of my own target. And suddenly, this gentleman's comment just sort of went away, and I think even he thought, this is a bit bigger, you know, so it just overrode it really and buried it, and that was the great thing of it. So I think all in all, I've not seen that much negativity, but maybe I've not seen it and not looked for it, and just gone with the positives, gone with the inspiration, and seen a lot of young females growing through this. And you know, there's certain ones, you know, who have embraced social media now, who did attend the conference, and they never would have been near Twitter 12 months ago, so they've gone there, and you know, that's everything what we wanted them to do, really, to have a bit of confidence in themselves. You can do this. So
do you think that sexism and misogyny is still an issue in farming or not?
Do you think it's
just the same as every other section of society?
Yeah, I think we always have to be careful really with that, because that could be the, you know, you could experience, it depends who you talk to, you could experience it in any profession perhaps, but only if you've been presented with it. I mean, I've never felt it, and I was wearing my merchandise gilet in Raglan Market one day, and this gentleman taps me on the shoulder and he said, yeah, you have got to be daring to go into farming these days. And I thought, here we go, right, you know, isn't it? But no, he was absolutely lovely, you know, and, you know, he was probably, you know, mid-70s really, isn't it? And, you know, he was so supportive. He loved Minette. He had got, you know, he really got it as well. And yeah, it was wonderful. And yeah, that's when you know that, yeah, we've got that recognition as to what we desperately wanted to do.
For sure. Cause, I mean, I still do get comments about having four daughters, you see. That the reason why I ask is I quite often get, well, you'll keep going for the boy, will you, for the farm. And it makes me, and I've had that from men and women, actually.
So, yeah.
So I still think it's ingrained a bit, but it does tend to be older people who say that to me.
Yeah,
so maybe it just takes time.
It probably does, but when you're seeing, you know, and I have noticed this very much so over the last 6 months. Well, what I've noticed the most is how many young female shearers are coming through now, some good numbers on them as well. You know, they're no longer just rolling or wrapping the wool. Mm-hmm. They are shearing, and good on them. Yeah. So I think that's one huge success, I think, because mm-hmm. that historically probably would have been the boys were doing the shearing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think naturally, you know, I've seen a lot of females bailing, and you know, when you start Instagram, I've had to get onto Instagram during She Who Dares because I was at risk of my 7-year-old at that time telling me to do it. But that's been where a lot of the merchandise sales were and still are. And a lot of them registering for the event next Tuesday. But yeah, that's been a very positive place as Instagram. So yeah, quite impressed.
Brilliant. So tell us about this year's conference. And unfortunately, like so many others, you've had to take it online this time. But I suppose it will mean that more people will be able to see it, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, initially, again, we had prepared and did launch on International Women's Day. So with Tracy Rowan, who was in this Farm in Life, the BBC series. So I was a huge fan of them, actually, and Tracy was so positive and really energetic on that programme. And then Caroline Mason, head of Agriculture Co-op. So I know Caroline's got, you know, quite a lot of success stories, really, through COVID as to people buying more British and wanting, you know, wanting to get cooking, and the red meat sales and that, where they, you know, have sold so much. So that's really good. And then Abby Kay, Farmer's Guardian, who is really good with getting a good story and getting a good angle on things. And, you know, so those three are our main speakers, isn't it? And so, yeah, we've shifted to a virtual event. I think people will miss the Royal Welsh in particular, especially, you know, the show inside of things, isn't it? And, you know, the social interaction, I think they're really going to miss, whether it's their own local show that's not on, or the Royal Welsh, you know, or their own county show. I think, you know, people are going to really miss that. So we thought, well, let's go 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Tuesday, let's go for it on a virtual format and see how we get on. So, yeah. So the speakers, when I went back to them to say, look, we're going to have to postpone it, we're gutted. And then when we came back with the virtual idea, they were grabbed it with both hands and were absolutely delighted. So, yeah. And like I say, the merchandise has gone right throughout the country. It's even gone to Australia, America. So, you know, we have got some dialing in from abroad. So that's fantastic, really, that the concept has gone so far, and that Wales put it out there, you know, so all a positive.
Exactly. So it's next Tuesday at 1 o'clock, did you say?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Do people have to register beforehand?
Yeah, so if they can just register by sending us an email, and then we will use that email address then to send them the login details as to what they need to do. They need not worry if they're out in a field or something. They will be muted. What we're going to do is run it with the speakers, and then, you know, the audience will be muted. So we haven't got any background noise or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I'm conscious some will have lockdown here and won't want to be on camera. They won't be.
You can see my lockdown hair at the moment.
Mine is, longer than pre-marriage. And so they haven't got to worry that way at all. All we want them to do is just dial in, log in, and if they want to ask questions, I will be managing the questions and getting those over to the chair, Del Robinson, so then we can get those questions over to the speakers. So, you know, they need not feel, oh my God, you know, I don't want to be seen on camera or anything like that. Then, you know, they can carry on with their jobs at home. And if the children are at home, get them to look in as well, isn't it? Yeah. So, yeah, it's for everyone.
And what website do they need to go to?
NFU Cymru then. So if they can go either via the website or there's NFU Cymru on Facebook or Twitter, so they can direct message if they want.
And where can people buy the merchandise?
I'm running the merchandise and I just had another delivery this morning thinking that it could go a bit mad again. So we're asking people who have either purchased merchandise before the event, isn't it, or even just if they're farming and haven't got the merchandise yet, we can sort that out. But we need all their pictures all put on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook with the hashtag Shewdays Farms and tagging NFU Cymru, just to make a day of it. We want a really good day of Shewdays Farms and make it fun. And then the build up then to 3 o'clock, where we'll have our speakers. And if somebody's sitting down with a gin and needing a bit of time out, then great. If they're getting the cows in for milking, just put it on. You know, they can dial in and enjoy with us. So we should be done by about 4:30 because we are conscious, you know, there's a little bit going on show week and, you know, people have got things to get on with at home as well. So, you know, yeah, 3 until 4:30 on the 21st of July.
And can fellas attend if I wanted to log in and have a look? Is that all right?
Well, I'm hoping you'll log in, Will, with the 4 girls and your wife. And, you know, yeah, it is a place for everybody, you know, and that is, you know, we've got a red meat seminar on the Wednesday and we've got a Q&A with the First Minister on the Monday as well. So any of the seminars, everybody is welcome to join in to all of them. And, you know, there is a place for everybody with us. So, yeah, anybody can join in, Will. If you're not there, I'll be able to see who's logged in, so I'll know.
I'll do my best. What are your long-term plans for it? Is it now an annual event going forward? Do you see it getting bigger every year? Do you see it going worldwide?
Well, it's hard to know, really, because, you know, we never really dreamt that it would go as big. You know, you obviously have hopes. Last year, isn't it? And then to think that it's still going so strong with the merchandise and everything, you know, this morning has been crazy with people registering. It's surprising what you can do when your 8-year-old daughter soaks Abby Reader and myself to get to draw the attention. But it's had the desired effect. So, yeah, you know, there's obviously a huge call in for it out there. And as long as we keep it fresh and that we keep it a place for, you know, for people to come back to and to want to be part of, then, you know, I really do think it can survive long term, really. You know, the fact that it got to the Oxford Farming Conference, wow. You know, we had done really, really well to get there. And, yeah, it just keeps going from strength to strength. So, yeah, you know, it's been superb. And, yeah, the brand is now there. And, yeah, it's up to us to keep it going and keep everybody involved and keep part of it, isn't it?
Be all right if it starts going worldwide and everyone in the Caribbean or something like that. Won't
it? Oh, now that would be just something else, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Finally, then, just to end, what do you personally hope the conference does for women in farming? So if there's a young woman, maybe sort of 17, 18, and she's thinking about a career in farming, what would you say to her?
Yeah, well, we had a very, we had just that actually last year, Will, in, there was a young lady there at 16, really, really desperate to farm and, you know, was going to do it. And we were like, do it. You know, we got her in touch with Abby Reader. She loved Abby. And yeah, she's gone off to agricultural college. And, you know, these ones now, I'm seeing them, they've made their decisions and their commitment to agriculture. That's what they want to do. And they need to be pushed every single way, inspired, Yes, you know, when I was in school, I don't want to say how many years ago, but people can probably work it out. It was a case of, oh yeah, you're just a farmer, and it was, what, you know, and a lot of women my age, you know, some didn't go through on to agricultural college because they felt that in their head sometimes, isn't it, you know. But you know, I went to university in Aberystwyth, I did business studies, I lived in a house with six Scouse lads and a girl from Warrington who had absolutely no concept of farming. And when I was saying, you know, yes, cows have passports, they thought they had pictures of cows on passports. You know, they soon had an education, and you know, it was really interesting. After She Who Dares last year, all of the lads and Joe all got in touch with me, and they said, we knew you'd do it, Stelle, because you were so passionate about farming in uni. You, even we're watching what we eat with our labels. Is it British? And, you know, all of this. And, you know, so things have changed, yeah. You know, an awful lot. And to that 16, 17-year-old female, young lady, looking to go into farming, why not? You know, and these businesses are so well-rounded now. You know, the farm is very much a hub for businesses, whether that's tourism, pig and poultry, you know, some really good beef units come in now using these stabilizer herds, you know, on the sheep side, you know, a lot going on with the ID, you know, making sure what you're watching, weight gain, you know, there's some really good initiatives out there that the young ones can put their stamp on in that business, and they can then get a hold of that, and that's theirs, isn't it? And they're adding value to that business. And, you know, they're feeling part of it. And I think that's really important, you know, for them going forward. So have the confidence, go for it. And, you know, if you've got a really good farming working ethic, you will go far and succeed.
Fantastic. Well, I think it's a very exciting time to be getting into farming right now, isn't it? So.
Yeah, it's interesting times, you know. I think COVID has made us all realise a little bit more where our food comes from, I think, isn't it? And, you know, I really hope that people, whether they've been using their local butchers or, you know, some of their local stores, that they continue to use those to keep them going. Because I think they did keep a lot of people going when the supermarket shelves were empty, isn't it? So, you know, it's our sense of community has certainly got stronger. And, you know, I think that could be said for a lot of places.
Definitely. Stella, it's been fantastic. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. And I will register and see you next Tuesday.
Absolutely. At 3 o'clock. Fab. Thank you, Will.
I'll be sure to line up the girls with the t-shirts on as well and get pictures.
Fabulous. On. Yes. I want it trending by 12, Will.
I have mentioned it to the kids. They've had a few ideas. So
fantastic. Yes. Inspire them. World's your limit, so go for it.
And to everyone at home, thanks for listening and hope to see you next time. I've been Will Evans, this has been Rock and Roll Farming. Thank you and good night.